Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block, ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Now on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Are on another week, another show, and I am so excited because, boy, we are in for an amazing interview just now because I am going to talk to the one and only Derek Rydell. Now, if you don't know Derek, I honestly believe that this is going to be a show that is going to open your eyes, wake you up, and even give you some awakening in the way that he speaks, his energy, his leadership, his contribution to the world. This is a man that I really have been following for quite a long time. And I even bought a few of his programs because he is just part of a new generation of spiritual visionaries and thought leaders. He is just the best-selling author. And some of you might know his book, Emergence, 7 Steps for Radical Life Change. And it is truly with the law of emergence, showing people how to tap into the pattern of perfection in any area of their life and create the right conditions for it to unfold. So it is a special chapter that I found that we are going to talk about today. And his other book is called The Abundance Project, which of course, 40 days to more wealth, health, love, and happiness. And so the abundance principle, I'm sure we're going to all talk about these things. But truly, when you know Derek's diverse background, it includes training top executives at Fortune 500 companies. He trains in empowered leadership and communications. He is coaching so many celebrities and media professionals, including Oscar and Emmy winners, because he was an actor himself in his first life, I believe. So he definitely is a contributor to a lot of top blogs, frequent podcast guests like today. He has his own Emergence podcast, and he shares, I truly, really appreciate this man because he shares cutting edge spiritual principles and a lot of success strategies. And I really believe that he fits so well into this show, From Stress to Authentic Success, because he's just that type of person that has been through such breakdowns and moments in his life where it was all darkness. And then coming out of it, being him true to himself, really emerging that potential of his and like that going into authentic success. So I am so excited. I'm not going to talk too long in this intro because I really believe that we need to make the most of our time together. So I'm gonna talk to Derek Rydell just now after this little break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. And as I was saying in the intro, I am more than excited, more than honored today to speak to Mr. Derek Rydell. Welcome, Derek.
Oh, thank you so much. It's just an honor and a pleasure to be here.
I'm a little bit nervous, I'm going to be honest with you, because I've been following you, Derek, for years and years. And when I say years, I really mean quite a long time. I'm a grandmother of 4, and I have been, you know, in this world for quite a long time. So I'm going to just start with a question that I really asked for an interview with you because I know that you have been through quite a lot in your younger years. And the show is called From Stress to Authentic Success. So can we elaborate a little bit on the part of the stress? What has been your, I'm not saying biggest.
Talking about the stress today or this week or...
Well done. No, yeah. So it's up to you. You can answer whatever answer you want.
Yeah, I mean, I can start obviously in the core. I'm not going to go all the way back to my childhood unless you want to know. But the core of my journey of authentic success, it is important to state that even since I was a kid, I was struggling against the pressure to conform to my dad's ideas of success, to my parents, what made them feel comfortable, all of that. So there is the theme all the way through my whole life of really me trying to answer a question, two questions. Who am I really? Or I say three questions. Who am I really? Why am I really here? And how can I be and fulfill that purpose and that potential in a sustainable way? So that is to say, basically, how can I be who and what I really am in a way that is successful or sustainable? Meaning I don't have to compromise. I don't have to live on the street or live out of my car I can be who I really am, what I'm really made for and made of. And that has been the thematic core question throughout most of my life. And I would say that, 20 some years ago, whenever it first started on my spiritual path, like so many people, I had been struggling to succeed or achieve or become somebody or build a life that made me feel secure and worthy and all the self-improvement kind of work that many people are familiar with. And instead of it, the only thing that really improved in me was my ability to describe why my life was so hard and so messed up. Right. I got really good at that because I was always looking at, well, what happened when I was 10, when my dad looked at my report card and saw all A's and a B and
said,
what's with the B, son? And just so I was always looking at where's the problems, what went wrong, why was I betrayed? I'm not saying there's not space for that, but basically I got very, very good at describing why my life wasn't working. But all the self-improvement was doing was making me more frustrated. It was like trying to dig your way out of a hole. And the more you dig your way out of a hole, the deeper in the hole you get. And that eventually led me to become addicted to drugs and alcohol. And I almost died of an overdose. And I remember the doctor saying, as I regained consciousness, you were lucky to be alive. And I thought, I didn't feel very lucky at that moment. I was like, how did all my efforts to improve my life get me here? And I redoubled my efforts and I tried to attract more and achieve and work harder and then work smarter. And then all the cliches, right? All the things we've heard. Organize your life better, be more efficient, whatever. And for a while, like it always works when you start a new thing, things got better. I felt better because there was a sense of momentum, a sense of progress, and a sense of agency again, because I was trying something new. And I was an actor at the time, and I ended up doing a movie, and I was in Jamaica and doing a film, and everything fell apart again. And at one point I finally was so fed up, I just prayed to get away from everything and went diving in a coral reef. And you may have heard this story if you've been around for a while. And I basically got lost in this coral reef. So I got my answer. My prayer was answered. I got lost. I got away from everything. And I got trapped inside this coral reef and I nearly drowned. And in fact, what happened without going through the whole story is I got to a moment where I knew I wasn't going to make it out. I was stuck. I was surrounded by fire coral, spiked coral. There were sand sharks beneath me. It was getting dark. Nobody knew I was out there. I had no way out. And there was a moment where I really knew there was no more making a deal with God. There was no more negotiation. I tried that. I promise I'll go to church on Sunday. Just let me out of here. I'll be a good boy. Please, God, don't let me die. And it was nothing was working. And there was a moment of of knowing that all that was left was to let go.
Surrender.
To surrender, to completely surrender. Not again, not a quid pro quo, not a surrender with conditions, because that's not surrender. It's unconditional surrender. And in that moment, there was a flash of light. And I saw, and this was a flash, but I saw that the self I'd been trying to fix and improve and heal and make better was a fictional character, an amalgamation of peer pressure and parental fantasies and societal conditioning, all of these ideas of who I was and who I should be, but it wasn't real. It was a fiction. And behind him, there was a self that had never been hurt or diminished. And so he did not need to be fixed. And it was, this self was already complete, so it could not be improved upon. In other words, self-improvement was an oxymoron from this perspective. The self was perfect and the self had never been hurt. And it was just a flash. And in the next moment, I was standing outside on top of a little bit of coral, the only little bit that I could have stood on. I don't know exactly how I got there, but I was now looking down where I'd been stuck. And I could see the exit had always been just a few inches behind me. I just couldn't see it. And I looked at this maze of coral and I saw that this was really a metaphor for my life. I've been swimming through this maze, following brightly colored things, kind of trying to get lost from what was really true about my life, not really look at myself. And I was drowning. And that had been my life, right? And so in that moment, all of that was released.
Yeah.
And Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall and there was no putting him back together again. And I was able to slip out, swim away, but everything had changed. Everything was shimmering with light and energy. And I ended up pulling out of my whole life after that and trying to become a monk. So that was the beginning of the stress to, I didn't yet know what authentic self or authentic expression or authentic success looked like, but I knew it no longer looked like that. That it was no longer about keeping up with the Joneses or conforming to peer pressure and parental fantasies or even conforming to all of my ideas of who I thought I was or how I thought we were supposed to grow. And shortly after that, I won't go into my whole debacle trying to be a monk, but it was crazy. And I ended up having this realization that just as the oak tree is already in the acorn and every tree is already in the seed, everything is already in the perfect seed of its being. And it doesn't, the acorn doesn't go out and achieve an oak or attract an oak or become worthy of an oak. If the acorn is not an inadequate oak tree, it's a perfect acorn. And when the conditions are right, that is already in it, the oak emerges. And that's where you obviously know where the law of emergence came from. And that all of the universe has evolved or emerged from a seed pattern. You came from a seed, that, you know, the duck came from a seed, the bird, the oak tree. And I would even posit the whole universe came from a seed. It's a fractal. Everywhere we look, everything has come from a seed. This interview, this podcast or radio show or whatever came from a seed of an idea. And so I realized I needed to stop trying to manage and manipulate and control my life, but instead become most curious and interested in what is that seed of life or of the divine or of my purpose that is already planted in the soil of my soul. And my job is discover what that seed is and what are the conditions it needs to emerge. And to me, that was the principle and the path to a life of authentic expression and success.
Can I ask you, when I do the little summary, because I've, as you know, I've been following, you know, and your vocabulary, I read often that you're saying, would it be accurate to say instead from stress to authentic success, you could say from self-improvement to self-actualization? Isn't that a little bit?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, because the problem, because one of the main causes of stress, if we want to look at stress from a metaphysical perspective and even somewhat a psychological perspective, is the friction of operating in opposition to the flow of our true nature. Mm-hmm. That is stress. That's what causes stress. You know, when you are out of integrity with yourself, when you are pushing against what you really are, when you are resisting what really wants to emerge, when you are trying to grab and get and force and make happen what isn't true versus making welcome what is who you really are, that is the byproduct. That is some form of stress or dis-ease.
Yes, right? I agree.
You are not at ease. You are out of alignment. And in the biblical scriptures of the world, and through all, you'll find these same ideas, whether it's Buddhism, Christianity, Judaism, Taoism, Hinduism. But in the Bible, it says, you cannot serve two masters, or you will be a house that is divided. And a house that is divided cannot stand. And the Zen equivalent to that is, it is like trying to ride two horses at the same time, going in opposite directions. That could be pretty stressful, right? Mm. And another word for it, by the way, is ambition.
Okay.
People think ambition is a good word. It's a good
not.
Thing. Mm. It's ambi. Ambi. Mm. You're going in two different directions at the same time.
Wow.
It's like,
yes.
I really want to succeed or really want to get love, find love, but inside it's, nobody's ever going to love me. I'm not worthy. So it's coming, it's a pulling, it's a tearing, it's a pushing, it's a making happen again, instead of a making welcome. And when a gardener's working on a plant or a seed, they can't make it happen. It would be very stressful if you were trying to get inside that seed and pull a plant out. All they can do is create the conditions that make it welcome.
Wow.
So if you think about that, it's a cultivation. It's a cultivation. It's just like if your favorite music is playing right now, but you can't hear it unless you tune the dial of your radio to the frequency where that song is. The song is right here, right now, in the midst of all of us, but we can't hear it. It's not manifest. But when that frequency matches the frequency where the station is, that station becomes manifest. Mm. You have a manifest station. But where
Beautiful.
Was that music?
I love that. I
right?
didn't know that one. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. But where was the music before that? It's right here. So you can't try to make the music happen. You just have to tune in to where the music is already happening. And that is the fundamental principle, again, throughout all the ancient teachings. And Emergence is restating it in a modern day parlance and with some new twists and turns. But fundamentally, it is, life has already done its job. Life is already perfect. You cannot improve upon life. Mm. Who by taking thought can add one cubit to their stature? You cannot, through your thinking or doing, cannot improve upon life. Mm. It's already perfect. Plato called them the realm of perfect forms. But, and that's not your job to perfect life or to make life better. Your job is to come into greater coherence or congruence or alignment with the way life really is. And then that life potential gets to flow through your channels, your circuitry, and manifest the glory of life as you. And then you get to be the light in the world. What does that mean? You get to model what life looks like when you're in alignment with it.
Mm. Can I ask you, because somebody's listening now and thinking, I'm in that struggle, stress, ambiguous mode still. You know, I am still outside success has been my aim for a long time. And now I hear this and they recognize themselves and they say, what is the first step, Derek? What is an advice that I can actually get goosebumps when I think about it, to actually have that turning point and to actually go into that part of self-actualization and flow? And what would be their first step?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing I'll say is, as even though these are true principles and I've demonstrated them for hundreds of thousands of people and for myself, and, you know, healed many things, manifested millions, beautiful life in all these ways, it has not been with, and still as I joked with you in the beginning, you talking about stress? You mean today or this week? I want to disavow people of the illusion, at least in my experience and my research, that there's a, you know, if you just do these things, you're never going to be stressful or struggling or have challenges again. I don't believe there's ever an end to that process. It certainly hasn't been true in my research and in my life. And if you look at the great teachers, you know, Jesus is one of them. He didn't have a great time at the end. It wasn't a party. So stress and challenge and crises is a way of life. It's one of the ways we grow. So the first thing is we have to give ourselves a break if we're struggling, is we have to be kind and patient and gentle. And eventually we'll be able to extend that to others. And in understanding that whatever is going on right now, you've been doing your best. And that's true for everybody, no matter who you are. Even if you're sitting on the couch eating nachos, you think somehow your psychology has made you believe this is what you should do. And so we have to, because if we start from, I'm a problem or my life is a problem, Derek, show me how to fix it, we're already off the beam.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? Please. And we're already coming from a problem state. And then what tends to happen is everything we're doing is trying to compensate, overcome, and fix what we think is lacking, missing, or broken. And in fact, it is the consciousness of wholeness that ultimately heals. So we don't, in other words, we're not on our way to a better life or a better self. We are coming from it, right? The sunbeam isn't on its way to the sun. The branch isn't on its way to the tree. The wave isn't on its way to the ocean. It is all an emanation of it. So we have to start with coming from. We have to work back to, that's why gratitude is a powerful process. Right?
Journaling.
Right. I have a process called the Night Pages, where I can just tell you guys right now what it is and what to do. But it's basically a way to realign yourself so you're starting from an increasingly stable foundation. You're not starting from nothing's working, let me get something working, because the nothing's working becomes the actual aim. And so that's why it says, to he who is right in mind, he can do all the wrong things, it'll still turn out right. But to he or she who is wrong in mind, they can do all the right things and it will still turn out wrong. And in the Bible, it says, to he who has, more will be given and it will be multiplied. And to he who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So the state of having, the state of filling yourself up on a daily basis, so that even if it's just a little bit, you cannot give what you don't have. You have to start from a place of having. So this process I tell people to do is every night you write out a few columns, and it's, what do I have? What have I done? What can I do? And what am I grateful for? So for example, if you're looking at a problem, I want to make money, or I want to build a business, or I want to get a promotion, or I want to find a mate, or I want to heal my body. Most people start from focusing on all the things they don't have in order to achieve that, all the things they haven't done in trying to achieve that, all the things they can't do in trying to achieve that, and all the ways they're lacking or missing. So they usually fill out those four columns every day.
I agree.
And I'm inviting you to fill out four different columns, which is, what do I have outside and inside? Well, I have some experiences. I have a roof over my head. I have running water. Whatever it is, start making that list. Inside, I have a willingness. I have capacity. I have potential. Okay, that's have. Okay, now what have I done? You can start to make a list of all the things you have achieved, right? And then if it's towards a specific aim, you can list all the things you've done towards that aim. Well, I decided to go for it. Most people don't even decide that. I've talked to this person. I've written this journal entry. I've done this. And you start to think all the things you've done, all the things you have done. And then instead of focusing on all the things you can't do around losing weight or all the reasons why you can't have a mate, or be, start coming up with all the things you can do, right? In fact, you can add one other column, which is like, because I just said it, we often also focus on all the reasons why I can't, or why I'm not good enough, or why it's not possible. And you can start making a column, just start journaling about what are all the reasons why you deserve it? What are all the ways or reasons why you can, or why you might be worthy, or why it might be possible? And all this is doing is it's focusing all of your attention, which is the only thing you have control over, and where attention goes, energy flows. And so you focus your attention on all that I have, all that I've done, all that I can, all the reasons why, and then gratitude. Now you're building up momentum, and you're actually tuning the dial of your consciousness into the frequency, into a station where your music is playing. And suddenly you get inspired ideas. Mm-hmm. Suddenly you get energy. Suddenly you get creative flow. Suddenly you have instinct to go there. Now, where did all those suddenlies come from? They were always playing right here, but you weren't attuned. Mm-hmm. And now, because of what you're focusing, where your energy is, you've just dialed your awareness to focus on and become aware of part of the infinite potential that you were blind to before. And suddenly, lo and behold, you have a manifestation. And that's the beginning. So you start from the stress, you start from all the problems, you refocus, but you got to do this on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So you build a habit, a mental habit, right? And then the second thing to understand in that, well, really the first is you have to have a goal or an aim. Like, where do you want your life to go? That's obvious, right? But you want to aim as high as you possibly can. Most people, they aim towards what they think they can do, or what they should do, or what they have to do. And that is not proper aim. Now, actually, the word sin, to sin is an archery term. It means to miss the mark or the target.
Yes.
It also means to aim too low. It also means to not aim at all. And so we have to aim high. We have to aim in such a way that the target to which we're directing our life brings a sense of awe to us, right? It's not, I got to pay my bills. Like, none of that is going to activate the evolutionary capacity of you. It has to make such a demand on you that you're like, oh my God, it takes my breath away. Now, it both scares the you know what out of you, but it also makes you go, what if? What if I could
like
become
a child.
Such a exactly. What if I could become Superman? What if I could become a shark? You know, kids, I remember a kid once, he wanted to be a shark when he grew up.
My grandson is 5. I promise you, he wants to be Spider-Man and all these
Spider-Man,
things.
Right?
Yeah,
and
all these
like
things.
And it actually is, there's something very right about that.
Yes,
it's like the great myths, you know, of Hercules and Odysseus and all these, it's the same idea. It's captured in the same thing about the great spiritual traditions, the Buddha, the Christ, the Tao. These are all targets. These are all the highest aims to which we are as humans meant to direct our life, because anything less than that is not going to make the demand and activate and lift us to that place where we can bring forth that potential. And then the second piece is what Gandhi said. Now we must become the change we want to see. We must be it. Dreams don't come true. They already are. You just need to be true to them. So we have to, again, come into alignment. We have to go, okay, if I'm honest, all bets off. If I could be who I really want to be and what I really want to be and make the difference I really want to make and have the life, you know, I would be like Mother Teresa or Gandhi or Martin Luther King Jr. or Oprah Winfrey or whoever. And by the way, that's another thing people can do is think of the top 5 people they admire the most in all of history, and they can break down what are the qualities and capacities that, and understand that's really a projection of your own potential. And then now we go, now notice where we were before. We're stressing, we're striving, we're struggling. Now we have an aim that's inspiring. And now we have a practice that is habitually moving our energy into a productive momentum. And then again, the third piece is now we have to begin to organize our day and our life so that we are being more and more in integrity with the person we would be if we were living that life. That's the Gandhian, you know, be the change you want to see.
And
so
also
know what the change is, practice the energetics of it, tune into the frequency, and then design your life in a way that you are being the change you want to see.
Yeah, and that third part, I just want to talk to you about that because, you know, I often talk about conscious self-care, you know, your self-care habits, morning routines, evening routines. And you are a person who often says, all men are the same, the Confucius quote, all men are the same, but it's their habits that separate them.
That's right.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that around habits? Is that what you were saying in the third part? Second and third part.
Yeah, it's all ultimately, even the second part was habits too.
Yeah.
And you know, is basically you want to think of it as character. Our character is what determines our destiny, not our conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And character actually comes from a root word that means the etch of God on your soul. So character is like the container that holds the programming. And so character determines destiny, not conditions, but your habits determine your character. And your habits are determined by what you do and are committed to consistently.
Yeah.
And what you are committed to is determined by what you truly value and your ultimate vision. So it starts with values, vision, commitment, consistent practice, building habits that create your character. That's the process. Now, what's important to know is that many people will say, well, I want more abundance and health and freedom and love and whatever. They'll say these things. I want to be successful. I want to create a thriving, successful, fill in the blank. But when you actually look at their life, you want to know what you really value. Look at your credit card, your bank account, your calendar, and your conversations. Look at all those things for a month, or look at them from the last 3 months or the last 6 months, and you're going to notice everything you've spent your time, talent, and treasure on, and where your conversation and focus has been. And I guarantee you, if you're not making the kind of progress you want to make, or at least significant strides in the area of the success you want to have, you'll look at that. If you're honest with yourself and you write it all down, you'll be like, oh, I don't actually value success. I actually value comfort, convenience, socializing, Netflix, whatever. You'll start to see I have a very different value chain or hierarchy than I thought. I value safety. I value not failing. I value having lots of free time. I value hanging out with my friends and watching TV a lot. I value, you'll just see, I value buying a lot of clothes or whatever. And I'm not making a judgment.
No,
you need to be, and understand the judge is whatever you truly want to create. Your ideal, when you have a vision, a true ideal, when you really get in touch with what you're made of and made for, that becomes the judge. That becomes the compass. Because then you can judge everything against that. Well, I say I want to be a successful, wealthy person.
But
now let me look at my life for the last 6 months and I'm spending all my money on stuff that's not producing, accruing, accreting any kind of abundance. I'm not investing in my education and growth as a speaker, teacher, author, healer, whatever. I'm not going to places and hanging out with people that can help me get better. I'm actually hanging out with people that are kind of not doing so well and complaining and commiserating. And I'm listening to all the channels that people got like, oh, duh. I want to write a new book called The Duh Day Ching. Right. And so because when you look at it, and I'm playing, of course, I'm not judging, but you'll see that you value very different things. So then you go, okay, that's good to know, because no progress happens until we tell the truth. So we like, have you ever been to a mall where you want to get to the Apple store or May Company or whatever, but you can't get there unless you know where you are. So there's a big sign that says you are here. Yes. Oh, okay. There's the Apple store. So we have to tell the truth about where we are, but most of us don't know. Mm. Well, I'm doing everything I can. I'm doing my best, trying to lose weight. I'm not eating. Well, let's look at what you've eaten for the last 30 days. Oh, geez. I've been putting all those calories in my body. Good to know where I really am. Mm. I'm drinking all those sodas and I didn't think that was making a big deal or whatever. So we got to know where we are. And that's the beginning of being able to go, okay, so now what do I want? Where do I want to be? As I said, now we can reorient and go, okay, this is the vision, as we already talked about. If I was living that, who would I be? Right? So what are the four quadrants of my character? The habits of thinking, feeling, being, and doing. So if I was living that life of authentic success, I'm a loving, generous, creative, visionary leader of my family, of my work, of the world. I'm making a difference and an impact, whatever it is. Okay, now let me use the angel of imagination and contemplation and really get into who would I be? What would I be doing on a daily basis, as best as I can imagine, in terms of practices? Well, let's say I want to be a best-selling author. I'd be writing every day. I want to be in the greatest shape of my life. Oh, I'd be doing some kind of exercise and self-care every day. I would be drinking more water and eating more greens, whatever. Like, you start to get a sense of what would I be doing? So that's the habits of doing. And then you can feel into it, who would I be being? So being is like an active term. Like, I would be being more creative. I'd be being more generous. I'd be being more playful. And you can see that. You can visualize your ideal life and begin to ask and notice, who am I being with my family, my friends, my clients, my coworkers, myself? And you start writing those qualities of being: generous, playful, creative, risk-taking, disciplined, whatever. And then you go, how would I be feeling? And you start to notice, will I be feeling joy and empower and inspiration and happiness? And now you can take those four quadrants and the thinking we already talked about. I'd be thinking, my kinds of thinking would be, I'd be focused on habitually, what do I have? What can I do? What have I done? And what am I grateful for? So now we've got these four quadrants of thinking, feeling, being, and doing. Now we can reverse engineer that and go, so these would be my real values. And these are the things I would be focusing on and doing. Now we can actually create and design a day and design a week and design a life and start to move the things away that aren't in alignment with that new value set, and maybe even move some of the people away or change our relationship and start to participate with the people and in the places and with the activities that are in alignment with who we said we want to be and who we would be if we were living the life we want. Now, when you see what that does, now that brings the house together. It's not divided. You don't have the unconscious part of you doing all these things while you say you want these things. You are now in integrity. Now, that's a process and that's a practice, and you will fail and you will fall and you will stumble. And that's not the problem. If you ever saw the movie Rocky, the only problem is you don't get back up, right? An airplane is off course almost all the time on its way to its destination. But that's not the problem. The problem would be if it didn't keep successfully approximating, coming back on track. But it's like, oops, I didn't do my practice. Okay, let me do a little bit of it right now. Oh, this thing fell apart. And I didn't, okay, let me come back now. It's like training a puppy, right? You just keep bringing it back. Sit, sit, come on, sit. Right? And if you don't wring its neck and throw it out the window, eventually it looks up at you and it wags its tail and it doesn't move. So we're retraining ourselves to be,
beautiful.
And notice, it's not a struggle. It's a practice of alignment, which allows for that is true about you to authentically begin to express.
I am so grateful for this conversation because my heart opens already just, you know, just by thinking like that and visualizing like that. And
right.
You can feel your energy. It's so beautiful,
yeah.
Derek. So
it's
thank
exciting,
you.
Right?
Yeah. So thank you so much. I'm doing quite a few. I have done quite a few of your programs. So I know this vibe. So it gets back to me. So I really love that. Can you
That's
just,
great.
we're going to finish off maybe with, I don't know, do you have a statement or a quote that recently you live by or something that you want to say the person who's listening now, wherever they are in the world listening to you? Is there a quote or a statement that you would like to tell them to finish off?
Well, I think it's you know, it's everything we've been talking about, but I boil it down. It's not really a quote so much as just there's really only two master strokes, master principles, you know, like the Karate Kid, wax on, wax off. And that is know yourself and be yourself.
Mm.
And
Ooh,
as
I
it
love
says,
that.
Right? As it says above the Oracle of Delphi, to, you know yourself. It doesn't say lose 5 pounds, make friends. It just says know yourself. And then as we know the saying, to thine own self be true. And so the principle I live most by is to have the courage to know the truth, tell the truth, and live the truth in service of the highest good, no matter the cost.
Wow.
That's a principle of the highest order of integrity. And
wow.
Another way I phrase that from even a more spiritual or metaphysical perspective is more than I want to fix, change, heal, control, or manipulate anything or anybody, including myself, I want to know the truth that sets me free. So now the focus, again, is not on making anything happen. It's on waking up to what is always happening, opening up to the music always playing. So that those principles or those affirmations keep realigning us to the truth that life, to end where we began, that life is already perfect. Life forms are not always perfect, but life, the life force is. And that's who and what we really are. And so when our commitment is seek first the connection to our true life, our true nature, more than anything else, that's what will begin to awaken in us. That's what will begin to drive us. That's what will begin to live us. And we, or to put it one final way, when we have greater understanding, we have a more powerful inner standing, and that allows us to become outstanding.
Oh, that's the best to end off. That's beautiful. I love that one. Thank you so much, Derek Rydell. I really appreciate it. I'll come back to the audience just now after this little break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Thank you.
I am going to listen to this interview a few times because there was so much in there. And I want to just give a few things before we go and see, and before I see you next week. I just want to mention a few things that I really believe that are important to take away from this interview. And one of the things is that the self is already complete. When Derek explained that there's no improvement necessary. I really love that. I feel that in my practice as well. The biggest struggle that many of us have is to conform. And so many of us don't know who we are and we don't know why we're here. And that stays such an important question. And so we all need to stop controlling and manipulating our life and discover what our real true seed is. He was explaining it so well. We just need to give it the conditions it needs to emerge and to become from the acorn, that oak tree that is all inside of us. Because as he says, stress is a friction of operating in the opposition to the flow of nature. We so often resist. It is true. We need to stop pushing and start welcoming exactly who we are instead of being in a form of dis-ease. So your job is to actually come in greater congruence so that life can flow through you, from you. That's where it all starts. And we need to first understand and accept exactly where we are now. No judgment, no compensation, no fixing. It is so essential, as he was talking to us, to start with a stable vibration. So many people in my practice, I see it every day, have that vibration that we talked about in the interview of wrong and lack, the absence of things, everything that is not going the way we want it. While Derek Riedel was really encouraging us to take a piece of paper and have these four columns, four questions. What do I have? What have I done? What can I do? And why am I worthy of it? So I think that is such a beautiful exercise to attune into the station, like he was explaining, where the music plays, where the magic of life really happens. And that's what we call manifestation. So of course, we need to turn this into a mental habit. That's why gratitude journals are so important. We need to aim as high as possible so we are in awe of our aim, of our goal, of our dream. It needs to be big enough. And then you and I have to become exactly the change that we want. Who do I need to be to have what I want to have, to reach the potential that I want to reach that dream? So the thinking, the feeling, the being and the doing, all things that we need to tackle. And that, of course, lies a lot in our character. Commitment and consistent practice is all part of the process, as it is a process. We heard that. And I really love the end, by the end, when Derek is saying that we have to have the courage to know the truth, tell the truth, and live the truth, no matter the cost. And often it's in, when I guide people, when I explain to people, when I teach people, when I have people in coaching asking them questions, it's often about having the courage to go deeper into the truth, to tell the truth and to live the truth. So if you can't do that with people around you, I suggest you can always go to someone, maybe even pay for it. You know, it is so important to invest in yourself, to go deeper, to know that truth, tell the truth and live the truth. I really enjoyed that. And to end, I was so surprised of that last quote. And I just want to repeat it here before I leave you till next week. When we have greater understanding, Derek was saying, we have a more powerful inner standing, and that allows us to become outstanding. Now, I just get goosebumps because, please, I believe in you. Wherever you are, I do believe in you, and I'm here to motivate and to inspire you to step into that powerful inner standing so that you can be your outstanding self and experience authentic success. I'm here to help you go from stress to authentic success. Thank you again, Derek Rydell, and I will see you next week. Bye-bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.